Because human beings are sinners, they must be punished for their sin. You can't live a life on this earth in front of a holy God and think that you can do anything that you want to do and not have to give an account for your sin. Sin must be punished. I don't care what shape, what form, or what manner it might be, that sin must be punished.
The teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of The Mercy Seat from our series, Let Your Glory Fill This Place. Dr. Glaze, of The Mercy Seat.
Propitiation, right? Appeasing the wrath of God. That there were two angels, and they were driving down the street in a truck. And this truck had on the side the wrath of God. And all God's wrath was in this truck. And they started driving the truck. And they were just, they said, there goes a sinner right there. Boom, and they ran him down. There goes another sinner over there. Boom, and they ran him down. They said, hey, there goes Bill Blaze. He's probably the biggest sinner that we know. We're gonna run him down and bust him to smithereens. And as the truck came towards me, and I saw the truck coming, and it sped up as it got closer and closer. And just when the truck was about to hit me, Christ pushed me out of the way, and he took the hit for me. That's propitiation. That's the mercy seat. That Christ took my wrath. And so we see the power of the mercy seat. That the mercy seat meant that the wrath of God had been satisfied. And when Jesus died on that cross, and as he took that punishment on the cross, and as he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And he cried out, it is finished, that he paid for my sins in full. Because he took the payment, he took the wrath. And you know, you could have died on the cross, and it would have meant absolutely nothing. But when the Son of God, God the Son, who was holy and righteous, when he died on that cross, he was able to save you from your sin. And he did something for you that you couldn't do for yourself. We see, first of all, that it symbolized that God was satisfied. The second thing we see about the mercy seat is that it symbolized that sin was purified. That not only was God satisfied, but sin was purified. Okay. Let me refer back to my notes. On the Day of Atonement, the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies and sprinkle the blood on the sacrifice of the mercy seat. This was an act of cleansing and purification. Because notice what it says in Leviticus 16 and verse 30. It says, because on this Day of Atonement will be made for you to cleanse you. Then, before the Lord, you will be clean from all your sin. Wow.
Come on now.
The mercy seat was powerful. That again, we know that this was a shadow of the things that come in Christ. But here he tells them that when the priest sprinkled that blood on there, that you will be cleansed from your sins.
Yeah.
And when Christ died on the cross, his blood covered our sins. And that your sins were purged. And so the mercy seat represents the fact that if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that your sins have been purged away. Your sins have been purified. Again, what did you do wrong last week? What did you think wrong last week? What did you say wrong last week? Wouldn't you hate to have to drag that through all eternity with you. But thank God that he cleansed you from those things. You know, he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. As such were some of you. Okay, y'all don't want to take that. I'll take that. I'll put myself in it. As such were some of you. Man, that is a vile list of sins. But then he goes on to say, but now you are washed. You are sanctified. You are justified in the name of our Lord Jesus by the Spirit of God. That your sins have been cleansed away. And so we can say, like the songwriter said, gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Now my soul is free and in my heart's a song. Buried in the deepest sea. Yes, that's good enough for me. I shall live eternally. Praise God, my sins are G-O-N-E, gone. My sins are gone. That when I accept Christ, now again, that's not a license for us to continue to sin. You know, no, because God is still going to hold us accountable. We just can't live any old way and do any old thing. But when you come to Christ, that he washes your sins away. You know, I think of when I was in college. Again, another college story, right? I remember one night, you know how it is. I got the munchies. You got to be doing something to get the munchies, but I got the munchies. And I went down to the student union and the vending machine. And I put some money in the vending machine. And you know, it didn't come out. And so, man, you know, I got hot. And I started yanking the machine and I started kicking the machine. And at the time, I didn't know it. But the guy that serviced the machine was coming through, and he must have saw me, and he said, I'm about to mess with this fool. And so he turned around, and went, I guess he went somewhere else to work on another machine. And so through the process of time, I accepted Christ as my Savior. And I joined the church. Now, if you've ever been to Durango, Colorado, there's not too many brothers in Durango, Colorado. And so, you know, when I got saved and I joined the church, I was the only brother in the church, right? And so, I remember, you know, I served in this church. I was a Sunday school teacher. I was a trustee in the church. And then God called me to go to seminary. And so, when I got ready to go to seminary, they had a going away party for me. And at the going away party, one guy came up to me and he said, I don't know if you remember this. He said, but I was servicing the vending machines. And you were up there, you know, shaking the machine and kicking the machine. And he said, you know, when you first came to this church, he said, I didn't think that your transformation was genuine. He said, I had to keep an eye on you because the only thing I could associate you with was the fact that, you know, you were doing something crazy like you did. And so he said, I just want you to know that, you know, praise God, you know, after watching you, I see that you're genuine. But I did have some issues at first. And I just said, well, you know, thank God that when we come to Christ, right, he takes away those natures to go and kick the vending machines and shake them up, right? And so our sins are clean, are cleansed. You know, my sins were cleansed. I no longer wanted to do stuff like that. And so at the mercy seat, the priest would sprinkle the blood, and that would symbolize that their sins were cleansed. They were taken away. You know, I like that song, It Is Well With from my soul. You know that line in there that says, my sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part, but the whole. Let me go back and say that again. My sin, not in part, but the whole, was nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Thank the Lord, oh my soul. And so, when we look at the mercy seat, we thank God because God is satisfied, sin is purified. But then we move on to the third thing about the mercy seat, and we see that now God and man can socialize. God and man can socialize. Amen. Amen. The Lord said that he would meet man in Exodus 25 and verse 22. He said that he would meet man where? At the mercy seat. He said, I will meet you at the mercy seat.
Okay.
Now, I've been preaching during this whole series that there was a veil that separated the holy place from the Holy of Holies, and that no one could go back into the Holy of Holies except the high priest once a year, and he would sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat and go. And God said, there I will meet with you above the mercy seat.
Yeah.
Exodus 25 and verse 22. Every year, the priest would go in, meet with, sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat, and meet with God. Mm-hmm. Every year, year after year, Hebrews talks about it. Every year, he would go in and meet with God, commune with God for the people. And when Jesus died on the
cross,
and Jesus said, it is finished, we see that the curtain to the Holy of Holies was torn into. That God opened up the curtain, and now what God was saying, that you no longer have to go through a man once a year, that you are no longer prohibited from entering into the Holy of Holies, but now you can enter into the Holy of Holies whenever you feel like it, whenever you want to come into my presence, that you can enter into the Holy of Holies because I will commune with you. And I don't know about you, but I can say, I come to the garden alone. See, they couldn't say this in the Old Testament. Right, they had to come with God some other way. But I can say, I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses. And the voice I hear calling on my ear.
Okay.
The Son of God discloses. Watch, this is communion.
Yes.
This is communion above the mercy seat. And he walks.
Yes.
And he talks to me. And he tells me that I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. That because of Christ tearing the curtain, opening up the Holy of Holies, that now God and man, God and woman can commune. And to think, I can have a relationship with the God of the universe.
Yes.
He's big enough to create this whole universe, yet small enough to live in my heart. And I can have a relationship with him because the veil of the curtain has been opened, that I have access to the mercy seat. Thank God for the mercy seat. Thank God for the mercy seat. That God is satisfied because of the mercy seat. That God and man can socialize because of the mercy seat. That sin is purified because of the mercy seat. I can have that relationship with God. There was a lady who picked up a book, and it was boring. And she read a couple pages and put the book down and didn't read anymore. Sometime later, she was engaged, and she got married. And she began to talk to her husband. And she said, you know, years ago I started reading this book by a man who has the same name as you. And I just found it very uninteresting. And he said, well, he said, I was the one that wrote that book. And she went and she picked up the book and she began to read it again. And it became the most thrilling and the most exciting book that she ever read in her life. And somebody asked her, what was the difference? She said, I have a relationship with God. I have a relationship with God. See, one time, the curtain was there, and we couldn't have that relationship with the author. But now the veil has been torn. We have access to the mercy seat, and we can have a relationship with the author. God says it's at the mercy seat. There will I commune with you. Okay. And then the last thing that we see about the mercy seat is not only does it symbolize that God was satisfied, not only does it symbolize that sin was purified, not only does it symbolize that God and man can now socialize, but it symbolizes the fact that sinners are justified. Sinners are justified. Now listen, you know, if you ever shouted during this whole message, this is shouting round right here. But I'm getting ready to tell you, it's shouting round, right? That whenever there was the Ark of the Covenant, and inside the Ark of the Covenant were the two tables, the Ten Commandments, which represented the whole law, the 632 laws that Moses gave. So in that box, you had the law of God. James said, if you keep the whole law, somebody said, well, I can keep the whole law, all 632 laws. If you can keep the whole law, James says, and you offend and you break it in one point, you are guilty of the whole thing. So you can live a holy life all your life, and if you come to one point where you say something wrong with somebody, all that good works that you've done, the law is going to come back and condemn you. And so God knew that human beings could not stand before his law. You can't stand open before the law of God. It will condemn you every time. And God, in his mercy, takes it. God, in his mercy, he takes a lid with two angels on it, and he puts it over the law so that now we can stand before the law. What a mighty God that we serve. God knew that we could not stand before his law because the law condemns us. You read the law. It condemns you. But God's mercy justifies you. And you can stand before the law because it's been covered. It's been covered by mercy. Let me say that again. You can stand before the law because it's been covered by mercy. Oh, my goodness. Say it again. Alright. You can stand before the law because it's been covered by mercy. The goodness of God towards those who are in need. There was a young man who had been speeding. He got pulled over by the police officer. And he was going way over the speed limit. And they brought him to court to be sentenced. And his father was the judge. And he knew that his father was an honest and upright judge. And so he knew that his father was not going to reduce his sentence or throw it out. And so when he heard the case, he sentenced his son to either a $1,000 fine or 30 days in jail. And the son said, well, I don't have the $1,000. And so the father sentenced his son to go to jail. And while they were taking him out of the court, the father took off his robe, put it aside, reached into his wallet, pulled out $1,000, and paid the fine. And the son was able to go free. Isn't that what God has done for us? That God says that I've got to judge you, that because of my law, I've got to judge you, that you stand condemned before me as the judge, that as I judge you, that you are condemned. Let me take off my judge robe. Let me put on my father's robe. Let me take it off. Let me send my son down the cross for your sin. So I thank God. I don't know about you, but today I thank God for the mercy seat. Father, we come to you today. And Lord, we thank you for the mercy seat. Wow. I mean, what a concept. Lord, that's something that, I mean, man would have a very difficult time coming up with. But Lord, you made these provisions when you put together the tabernacle. And you from the brazen altar all the way to the Ark of the Covenant, which contained the mercy seat. Thank you that you are a God who is thoughtful, that you are a God who is caring, that you are a God who is loving, and Father, that you have provided for us. And so truly we come to you today and we thank you, Lord, for the mercy seat. Father, I pray that if there's someone watching or someone here that has never received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and today they would like to invite Christ into their life, if you will pray a simple prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I realize that I'm a sinner. Thank you for dying on the cross on my behalf. And right now I ask you to come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. And if you prayed that prayer, my friend, or if you want to know more about what it means to be a Christian, if you'll call that number on the screen, 412-242-3255, leave your name and how we can contact you, and someone will follow up with that question or that decision that you made. So Lord, we commit that invitation to you. Maybe there's someone here in the sanctuary today. You want to know more about this salvation, or you would like to unite with this church of fellowship. As we give the invitation today, we have counselors that are ready and waiting to talk to you, and we invite you to come today. Let us stand.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of How to Be a Tabernacle for God from our series, Let Your Glory Fill This Place. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, The Mercy Seat, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Mercy Seat. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Mercy Seat. Or call us at 877-831-5060. Keep in mind, the entire series, Let Your Glory Fill This Place, is made available by you. You visit our website.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galais. Dr. Glaze is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send a contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.